of Gotham, a crazy podcast about DC, with your host E-Rock and PD. When we speak up, get your geeks up, cause you know you about to get geeked up. So sit back, relax, and get comfy. Lose your mind like Solomon Grundy, and listen to a show that won't be forgotten, coming straight out of Gotham.
And hello, everybody! Welcome to another episode of Straight Outta Gotham. This is episode 2. We are a member of the Batpod Network. I am co-host Peter Vera, and I would like to welcome in Strong Island's finest, Eric Holzman. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
All right, man. What's going on? How's everyone doing today?
This is like day, 31 of the coronavirus pandemic, and I think I'm officially going stir crazy. So
I think we all are. I think we're all kind of going a little nuts right now. But, you know, we got to stay the course. We want to stay the course for our doctors and nurses and first responders so that they can continue to do their job with the least amount of emergencies as possible. So we will continue to hunker down in quarantine, and hopefully you and I could do some more of these and entertain some people along the way.
That is the best part about this whole pandemic, is we've actually had time to podcast and talk about some cool stuff. So, you know, at least something good has come out of it. And today we have a full slate of things to talk about, starting off mostly with the DC updated movie slate, and also Pizzolatto?
I think it's Pizzolatto, yeah.
Pizzolatto's recent comments on how he would direct a Batman film. So some interesting stuff, some cool stuff. We're going to pick our brains, and we're going to say probably a few things you don't agree with. And that's the whole point of this. So, Eric, you want to lead off?
Yeah. So we got word today. I want to say probably around midday it was. By the way, everyone, we're recording on 420. So for those who partake, happy 420.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, yes. But yeah, about midday today, we got word that Warner Brothers has pushed back the Batman, Matt Reeves' The Batman movie, from June 25th of 2021 to October 1st of 2021. Now, it wasn't only the Batman that was pushed back. Some other DC properties were also moved around. The Flash, surprisingly, was moved up a month from June 2nd. To June 2nd from July 1st. And then Shazam 2 was pushed back 7 months from April 1st to November 4th. So since this is a Batman-centric podcast, we will start off with the Batman, and we'll discuss the other two in a couple of minutes. So Pete, when you heard the news, what did you think?
The first thing that came to my mind, I was a little bit disappointed because just of how much I am in anticipating this film. But I felt like it was expected. I felt like everything, just with the way everything's going down in the state of the world right now, I felt like this is something we knew was going to happen. We were just waiting for official word. I'm not sure if it'll get postponed again, but I mean, I saw some interactions on Twitter, and you believe that it will. You think that this will not be the final date, but this is just a date that they have set.
Yeah, they knew they had to push it back. They knew they weren't going to hit their date because of the coronavirus shutting everything down. So I think they chose a date that was well within the range of when the original date of June 25th. But it all depends, right, on when they get back to shooting. So I put that I thought if they started shooting by the end of the summer, it would be difficult. And friend of ours and the man himself, Bill Raimi, commented back that he says he feels that at the end of if they do get started by the end of the June, they should be able to make the October 1st date. So Bill has a little bit more information than me. So maybe, you know, he knows, he has better grasp on the situation. I don't know. But I personally, I just feel that if it doesn't start by August, if they're not shooting by August and say they're shooting into September, October is when they start shooting again, I think that date will be pushed back again. How far? I don't know. Would a Christmas release be good for a Batman movie? You know, it worked for Star Wars. So there I go again. I always get Star Wars in.
You got that one reference in there.
I always get Star Wars in here.
They only have shot, I believe Reeves said, about a third of the movie. So it's they haven't even shot half of it. So I don't know how much more time essentially is needed or what they need to do. But, October is not the worst release date. I mean, Joker made a killing last year in October. So it's a good date. It was a good date for that movie. So, I mean, they made $1 billion in an October release.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I think obviously the property, Batman is a property that's going to do well more often than not. So, and I think that what we've
Justice
gotten from this.
Really well.
Well, that's not a total Batman movie. That's an ensemble film. So let's throw Justice League out, even though I probably liked it more than you did. But throw that out. Throw it to the side. But yeah, I mean, like I said, Batman's a property that's going to sell. We're probably going to sell anyway. So having it, you can put it literally in any month and it'll probably do well. I'm just trying to look at the places where you go for these big tentpole films. Now, as we know, this will probably read as more of an artistic film in a lot of ways, especially from what we've gotten so far. I think things that we've seen, it's not so much a big time summer blockbuster film where there's going to be a lot of explosions and things like that. I think it's going to be more of the similar to what Chris Nolan did. Not the same thing, not a copy, but a little more grounded, a little bit more quote unquote artistic type film. As we've seen, a lot of the stuff we've seen so far has been different, not used to what we've been seeing from a Batman movie with the suit and the Batmobile. So I think because of that, there might be more intrigue this time than it just being a big budget Batman film.
I'm with you on going back to it does feel a little bit more Nolan-esque just in terms of it doesn't, Snyder he's very green screen heavy. You know, he's larger than life. You know, he's in ways I want to compare him to Michael Bay, whereas I feel like Reeves isn't essentially that kind of as an extravagant director. He's more grounded and down, but I do get a lot of, Begins vibes from the Batman, just in terms of what it looks like and what we've seen so far.
Yeah. And even stuff we've heard about the story and stuff the actors have said, gritty thing. You hear them throwing the word gritty around a lot. And then I remember Pattinson saying, well, Batman's not necessarily a hero. So you're kind of, from what we know, from what the actors have hinted, this is definitely going to be one more of a grounded, realistic film. So
I do wish they would take a little bit more, I wish there was a little bit more things that were released in this kind of pandemic to hold us over. I feel like we should have got a picture of the Penguin at least, of Colin Farrell, or even the cat suit that Zoe might wear. Just something. I mean, while this isn't necessarily bad news that the movie's postponed because it's it's coming. It's not like it was canceled, but it's I wish there was something else that we could be all right, while it's postponed, yeah, but we got this as well. This kind of, dulls the pain a little bit, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, we've been so devoid of content that I think I texted the group the other day, that fan teaser trailer that fan made. Did you watch it?
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Yeah. It's actually very well done.
I'm not a fan of fan trailers.
Yeah. I'm usually not either, but again, there was something Batman. I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, let me look at it, see if it's good. And it actually was pretty well done.
And that's not a knock against those people. They're creative. I mean, to splice things together from other various forms of media, it takes way more patience and creativity than I have. So kudos to you for being able to do it. It's just not something that I'm really into.
Yeah, I agree. But watch it. Just watch it and then tell me what you think afterwards, because it was very well done. The clips that this kid spliced together, or this guy spliced together, or a woman, I don't know who did it, who spliced it together, did an excellent job. So yeah, if you want to get the Batman content that isn't official or isn't even real, check that out. Tell me what you think.
I will say it's not all negative though. I know being pushed back is kind of a bad thing, but seeing the Flash getting moved up as much as we've seen that film canceled and reshuffled and redirected, and just the whole Ezra Miller thing, everyone was questioning what was going on. That's the first positive thing about that movie we've heard since Andy Muschietti was confirmed as the director. So we at least have that. So that's at least a positive to take out of that it got moved up, because I feel like that film's been cursed.
It definitely does appear that film has been cursed. And I keep every time some news would come out, you guys would be like, oh, it's not getting made. I'm like, no, it is. I would be the one to say, no, it is. I still feel that way because they keep talking about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely in wait and see mode. I'm not going to believe this movie's coming out until I get at least a teaser poster. But then again, Superman Lives got a teaser poster and that never happened either. So I guess I'm all right, I guess I need a trailer. So the Flash, I got 5 seasons on TV plus the 90s John Wesley Shipp show. So it's at least I have that. I can't really complain. It's not like I'm a Green Lantern fan and I got nothing. Well, there's that movie.
I was about to say, you have the Ryan Reynolds movie.
That's still nothing.
You got that.
I guess.
Yeah, The Flash, and with everything going on around it, I'm surprised they even mentioned it. Everything going on with Miller, which apparently nothing happened from that. No charges were filed. So apparently that incident where he apparently choked a fan, which I have thought was staged from the beginning. Was
it's a non-issue.
Yeah, apparently it's a non-issue. So that movie did get moved up a month. Hopefully when this is over with, when the pandemic's, when they start shooting things again, we hear that they're in principal photography or something and get something going. But I haven't even heard that there's a script for it. I'm sure
Muschietti is writing it right now. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's probably in the process of.
Yeah. But well, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, he's riding a good high from the It movies.
Which were fantastic. I love the first one more, but the second one was great.
I agree.
Both are really good. So, like, and WB's really on a roll right now with horror directors. You've got Sandberg with Shazam, Juan, obviously, with Aquaman. They're both getting sequels. So, you know, Walter Hamada is definitely riding the new line movie monster train there.
Yeah, why not? I mean, you should. You know, Aquaman made $1 billion.
And it's visually beautiful. Like, I love Aquaman. Yeah, so I'm pumped for Aquaman, you know, too, which is coming out December 16th, 2022.
Yes.
And I'm right before that Shazam 2, November 4th, 2022. So, you know, those two coming right out one after another is really exciting.
Yep. Yeah, Shazam 2. I'm still wondering what they're going to do with Asher Angel. how they're going to work around this, because obviously he's older now, and
they mature fast, these kids, right?
Yeah, so I keep wondering how that's gonna look, and now it's, you know, push back even further. I don't know.
I wonder what Darla's gonna look like. She was so young in the first movie. Like,
I know.
Is she gonna be like a teenager by the time Shazam 2 comes out? That's the only thing I worry about. But like, I love Sandberg's movies. My favorite movie by him is Lights Out. If you haven't seen that, go see it. I know. It's a really creepy ghost story. So if you're into that stuff,
I don't know if I've seen it.
It's really good. Teresa Palmer is the lead actress in that movie, and she was actually cast as Talia al Ghul in George Miller's Justice League. So it's all connected, as I like to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder now. The article also didn't mention that they're holding fast with Wonder Woman now for its August release this year.
Yeah, so, I don't know if that's going to make it. It's not because, like, I almost feel like, look, I don't know anything. I'm not a doctor. I'm when it comes to this stuff, I read WebMD, you know, like, I'm an idiot. So
exactly.
Yeah. So like, seeing this movie coming out on August 14th, and I don't even want to say even the pandemic might actually kind of be cleared by August, hopefully, let's say. Mm-hmm. But like, are people willing to go to theaters? Are people willing to sit in a packed theater with 200 some odd people? You know,
that's the thing.
That's the question in that scenario.
Yeah. Also, I think are they going to allow 200 people in a theater at first? Maybe they'll cut capacity like they were doing before everything was locked down completely.
Are you going to start cutting 3 seats capacity away from a person? Like, how are they going to orchestrate this? Because I guarantee, like, I would imagine you're going to see people wearing masks. You're going to see people wearing gloves. And, you know, there's going to be some social distancing. You just have to be. As rightfully so.
Yeah, I keep telling my nephews and stuff that. Like, my nephew keeps asking. He's like, when this is over, I'm like, well, it's going to be a different world probably. You're going to have to wear masks everywhere you go in the beginning, and you're going to have limited capacity, I'm sure.
At least for the rest of the summer.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it sucks, but it's affecting all industries. And like, as we're talking this, it's obviously affecting the movie industry big time. So
yeah, the whole when we do this.
Yeah, pretty much, right? So yeah, the Wonder Woman date, the fact they didn't address it, I'm optimistic. I hope it does come out in August, because I've been wanting to see the movie, and I just want to get back to the movies, period.
I agree.
So I hope it holds on to its date, but I'm not optimistic at this point.
And the next film after Wonder Woman is The Suicide Squad on August 6, 2021, so that should hold firm. So like, everything after Wonder Woman should be intact, hopefully, coming out of this.
Yeah, I hope so.
Tongue twisted here. Suicide Squad is, it's cut, and he's editing, and he's got a soundtrack, and I'm really excited to see what Gunn brings to the table for that one.
Well, yeah, he spoke on Twitter about it, and he said he did say as of right now everything's a go for the date. They haven't changed anything. They haven't pushed anything back or made any changes to the schedule for him. So that's a good sign. It is a year away, a little over a year away, but that's a very good sign that at least one movie that we know is coming hasn't been altered or changed or anything. Also was mentioned in this, and this is not a DC property, but the Sopranos movie, the prequel, Born in Newark or something in Newark?
Saints of Newark.
Saints of Newark, yeah. That was pushed as well.
I'm actually binge-watching Sopranos right now. I'm on season 5, episode 7. So it's getting really heavy. As far as I know, the only issue going back to Suicide Squad is Idris Elba has confirmed COVID-19. He does have it.
Yes.
So we wish him a speedy recovery. I loved him in Prometheus as well as Pacific Rim. So, speedy recovery. I hope you come back out of this, happy and healthy. So I think that's the only issue coming out of Suicide Squad.
I've liked him in everything. He's one of the actors that I enjoy. Yeah. He's one of the actors I enjoy watching. Even something like Hobbs and Shaw, which is a movie that mostly probably only guys and women who love The Rock love.
Who doesn't love The Rock?
But,
Idris also is in The Office.
Yes, he's in The Office. He's in Thor.
Yes, he is.
He's in Thor. Yeah.
So he's, he's
a guy. He's in a lot of things. Yeah, he's in a lot of things. So
hopefully he's James Bond one day.
I hope it happens. I wish it's weird. And it's terrible to say this because I know not everyone feels this way, but some people are just, you're written a certain way. That's who you should be. And James Bond was written as a white male. So people feel he should remain a white male. I hope if they just pick the best actor and if he wants to do it and they have a story for him, they should just do it. Pull the trigger.
I agree.
I hope we are past that point now. But I've heard things where people have mentioned the Black Batman. People haven't liked it. And, so I don't know why people close minded like that. I preference wise. Yes, I prefer that. But if it's a good story and it's a good actor,
that's all that
let
matters.
Let them tackle it. Yeah, let them tackle it. That's all that matters. That's what I say. So there was another bit of news that came out, a little bit of an interesting story. True Detective creator Nick Pizzolatto was on Instagram, I believe. Yes. He hopped on Instagram to share his feelings about Batman, who he says is the only piece of geek culture he has an affinity for, and pitches a story that he wants to write involving Batman. He has a couple of interesting quotes. One of them is, "Batman's no kill policy is valid and should always remain, but the police does not exist because killing makes me as bad as them or some kindergarten bullshit. That never held any water at all. Batman's no kill policy exists because Batman's real and eternal enemy is death. Death is his real enemy." So Pete, again, what are your feelings on that quote?
I mean, that's probably the heaviest interpretation of that policy I've ever seen. I mean, I've never heard anyone actually say it like that. I feel a lot of people rely on the, we don't do that. That's what they do type thing. It's something that you have to really digest, that death is Batman's enemy, and to be honest, I'm almost not really sure what exactly that means. it really makes you think.
Yeah, to me, I read it as because his earliest memory was something of death, then that's his enemy for, that's his first enemy now for life.
Yeah, okay.
That's how I read it. So
just looking back at what his parents and what caused him to follow this path.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I would read the quote. That's how I read into what he meant. And it makes sense. Knowing the character, it does make sense. But it's interesting. Deep. It was an interesting thing, huh?
It's deep. It's really
deep. Yeah, it is. It's really deep, and it was very interesting to read because like you said, it's something I'd never heard before. So you hear that, and then you start thinking, and you're like, "Wow, yeah, that does make sense. I see where he's going with this." So, but the more controversial quote was probably the next one.
I agree. That one really, you're like, "Wow, I can't believe he went there," because that is essentially what is what I've always interpreted Batman is to be what he doesn't see in the character. Just read the quote. Like, this is really interesting.
"Batman is not some wounded boy, some man-child who can't get over his parents' death. He's not an arrested child. He's not the Phantom of the Opera. He's not broken in any way. He's the opposite. Batman is the story of a traumatized rich boy who works out his catharsis on the mentally ill. Batman is the story of how one human saint turned a life-defining tragedy into the pinnacle of human achievement and the single greatest humanitarian crusade the world have ever known.
Wow.
Whew. Yeah.
He's just full of deep thoughts. But see, like this, I always felt like this is very accurate. You know, like he takes the moment that literally would ruin most people's lives, you know, would send most people on a tailspin of just depression and hopelessness and just, but he's able to climb himself, pick himself up and climb out of that fear in that moment and achieve something so great that no one else probably could do.
Right. I mean, it also speaks to, this goes back to speaking to his humanity, how Batman is not a, you know, a superhuman being. He's not a supernatural being. He's just a guy. And how he, despite all of that, he put himself through all everything, all the pain, all the torture to do this great thing that, yes, his means made it able for him to do it. But it's not, when you read the quote again, it's not something, I don't think it's something a broken person would do. You know, I don't see it, you know, when you think about it in his interpretation, I don't see it that way either now. It kind of makes sense what he's saying, that a broken person would probably go the other way.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
But in that sense, it's like, that's why Batman's so relatable, because he's not superhuman. He
of course. You
know, we could achieve this if we had will and determination and drive. We can do what he did. We just, you have to focus, you know.
Yeah.
And there's no special powers. You know, he's not from another world. There's no real gifts.
Right.
It's all
being a billionaire helps.
Well, that goes into another quote that he mentioned. Like, it's like one leads into
exactly,
another.
Yes. Yes. I what's it called? I led in myself on this one. Batman super. The last thing he says, and this is the one that got everyone talking because it is kind of out there, but I'll read it. Batman's superpower is not money. Batman's superpower is that he thinks of everything and he has the strongest will of the species. If he had some time to strategize, Batman could credibly defeat God. okay. So I don't know why he would want to defeat God, but it's an interesting take to say that, as we've already said, a man who doesn't have any supernatural power, can defeat arguably the strongest supernatural being that our world has ever known. The God, not a God, the God, because he capitalized it with the capital G. So that means Jesus's daddy, however you want to put it.
The Almighty.
Yes, the Almighty. So, wow. Would you like, just really quickly, and we talked a little before this, would you like to see something like a story like this done? Would you like to see?
I mean, here's the thing. I prefer Batman a little more grounded. I prefer Batman as a street level detective fighting street level crime. But there is something to say about Batman fighting, you know, the Almighty. And it makes me think of a story written by Jeff Loeb, in Batman Superman, when Supergirl returned. Darkseid eventually kidnaps Supergirl and tries to turn her evil, but Batman is smart enough to defeat Darkseid because of and Darkseid even states this, you know, human beings are willing to kill their own, whereas someone like Superman wouldn't even think of something like that. So it's like, Batman, he's the ultimate strategist, the ultimate thinker. Even though he has his limits, he knows his means within those limits to achieve his goal. And that's something that I've always admired about the character. But and this is a quote I agree with. You know, I think he can strategize against the best of them and really figure out what he needs to do to achieve whatever it is he's trying to get.
Right. Well, that's always been the argument. Of any time you put Batman against any of the godlike people, the godlike superheroes, like people have said, could Batman beat Thor? Could Batman, you know, there's always been that, well, if you give him enough time to strategize, yes, he would win. He'd beat anybody.
But that's going again, like biblical, like David versus Goliath, you know, David was a man. Goliath was larger than life, obviously. So it's not something that's out of the ordinary. It's part of, you know, human, I guess, mythology to think that, you know, while we are small and almost weak in the grand scheme of the universe, but we can achieve great things because of our mental capacity. There's something really there to think about.
Yeah. And again, this is one of the things that I think what makes Batman so relatable is that anyone can do that, right? Any of us could, if we trained ourselves and put our mind to something like he did, could probably think of some kind of way to defeat our biggest obstacle. Or the biggest obstacles that we have in life, if we really took the time to plan it, and strategize, you know, nothing. I think that's nothing is impossible if you do that. And I think that's one of the things that Batman has always stood for or has always been.
Agreed.
But I'm wondering if, I don't know, like I trying to think if I'd want a story like this. It sounds a little hokey. like, I don't know how you'd even lead into a story like this. Like, what would God have done to make Batman want to fight him?
I don't necessarily know if I want to see Batman fight God. You know, like Batman, right. Again, like going back to like BVS, like Batman versus Superman was something special because of who they were.
But right.
Like Batman versus like Darkseid and Parademons is kind of, it kind of like waters it down for me. I'm not really that into it. Mm-hmm. But like, I was excited for JL and what it possibly could have been. But like I said, I prefer Batman as a lower, as a street level type thing, almost as grounded more as a detective. But like, I think there's something there within his ideas and his brainstorming that'll work. I think if you were able to give him a story and maybe give him somebody else to kind of keep him a little bit more grounded, that there's something there that I would want to see after the Reeves run is done.
Or maybe make it like a Mad Hatter type of hallucination or a Scarecrow type of, you know, something like that.
Okay.
To do a story like that, because, you know, obviously the.
So like Batman maybe like Mad Hatter, Hugo Strange, kind of like mind control, mind over matter type thing.
Yeah. Something like that, where you have Batman and I don't know how it'd be written, but somehow you lead into a place where he has to take on that kind of challenge to save Gotham or whatever, or however you want to write it. I don't know. My inner writer, that's very, very way back inside my body, is coming out right now. But I just, when I read the quote, I kept trying to think, okay, what would be a good way to have this story? And I just started thinking of the other villains and I'm like, yeah, well, those two would be perfect because, you know, it's mind control and it's what they do and they're already in the Batman universe. So it wouldn't be that large of a stretch to do it something along those lines. And then obviously you can, the viewer can make up their mind at the end of how much was real and how, kind of like with the Joker, how much was real and how much was forced.
I read the quote and I don't think he's saying Batman, he wants to write a movie of Batman taking on God.
Right.
You know, I just think he uses an example of how smart and intelligent he is and, you know, the mental capacity that Batman has to overcome obstacles and situations. I think that's more along what the quote means, not necessarily Batman taking on, you know.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, I just went there because he put it there. So I tried to think of things like, oh, would that be a good Batman? And the other thing is, Damon Lindelof is his friend who was supporting and kind of, he read this also on Instagram, was kind of posting stuff. And if you know anything about Lindelof, if you've seen The Leftovers or any of his other shows, he is that kind of guy who writes out their stuff, right? He deals with things that aren't necessarily what you'd see in a normal setting. So the fact when I saw that, I'm like, oh, well, if you have Lindelof now and you have Lindelof also did Watchmen, by the way, in case people didn't know, the HBO Watchmen. So if you have this guy now and this idea, who knows?
The most interesting thing, though, I did take away from the whole Instagram post wasn't exactly the pictures of the messages he posted, but was his caption where he says, Lex Luthor could be problematic for Batman, but a frail, twiggy man who won't stop smiling dressed like a clown. I can't imagine any scenario where that fight takes more than 10 minutes. And that's like, okay. And then you're like, okay, yeah. Like you go back to BVS and you're like, yeah, well, Lex Luthor did kind of outsmart Batman and Superman in that movie to have them fight each other. So it's like
he did
the chess pawn effect. And that's interesting to me. And it's just like, wow, you know, he has a lot to say. And I like a lot of what he says. I think, like I said earlier, there's bits and pieces there that would make a good Batman movie. Cause I think essentially he gets the character down to his core. And it makes me think of like Tominsey's run recently in Detective, where the stories aren't necessarily that great, but the characterization of Batman is so on point and so perfect that it makes up for the stories. So it's like if you can combine his ideas with somebody like like what Nolan did with Goyer for Begins, you can get that epic movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think after Reeves' run, I don't know what they're going to do. Or first of all, I don't know how long it's going to be. And second of all,
they're
I don't know.
Trilogy. They throw trilogy out there all the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what you hope. I think the first movie has to do well, though. And I'm not saying it's not going to. Like I said before, Batman usually sells just for being Batman. So,
but remember, Begins only got a sequel because of DVD sales. Begins didn't get a sequel because it made a box office killing.
No, I know. That's exactly the thing. Like, that's what I mean. So I don't know what the plan is. They're probably right now taking it film by film. And especially because, like I said, this does appear very different than what we've got before. So I don't know what's going to happen. But if they ever do decide to do something off or like different with Batman, I think this would be awesome. I think this would be an awesome way to go. And in Pizzolatto's Instagram post, he says, hello to DC, and he says he will work for free. So if DC wants to go down this road, they won't even have to pay him.
that's gotta be news to him, pleasant news to Hamada's ears. He's like, oh, this guy will work for free. This is great. But that's not true. Yes. Nobody in Hollywood works for free. Let's be serious.
Of course not. I mean,
it's obviously ghostwriters.
Yeah. It's always something people, they just throw out there, you know, to say, look, I'm really interested. I'll work for free. But
even if it was something that, let's say, if this take on Batman was like, say, a DC Universe production that was like a limited series, maybe 6 episodes, you know, I could dig that. Or maybe it's something they pushed, like Warner would push to HBO Max or something like that. You know, like, I'd be down for that. Almost like a Watchmen type thing where it's literally like one season and done. I'd be fine.
Yeah, that.
I don't know how much Warner Brothers wants to put Batman on the small screen, even though recently, you know, between Gotham, Batwoman, and Titans, they've let go a little bit. I don't know how full Batman they would go, but it's something I would be interested in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the other interpretations, Gotham notwithstanding, have been good. I like the older Batman on Titans, or the older Bruce Wayne, sorry.
Yes.
On Titans. I think Ian Glenn did a good job. And I like that dynamic between him and Dick.
Kind of a father
son. Yeah. Yeah, it was done really, really well. Especially in season 2. Here we are talking about Titans again. We touched on it last time. We're back with Titans. But yeah, so I think they are getting a little bit looser with the reins on Batman. I don't think we'll ever see a full-fledged Batman on TV again like we had in the 60s. I don't know if we'll ever have that. But the fact that they're letting at least Bruce Wayne do things in other mediums is good going forward. So I do think something like this could be done, especially if they keep the DC Universe app or if they push it to HBO Max, like you were saying. I think that's not exactly like being on TV, like a serial show. It's kind of a little bit above that level, or at least that's the way they're portrayed now. So it might be interesting, or maybe a Netflix thing. I don't know.
I don't. With DC Universe, I can't see them doing it on Netflix. You know, maybe it would be released on Netflix later, like kind of like the CW shows. I'm not really sure. Right. But I feel like DC Universe and whatever HBO Max turns out to be will be the platforms they would use to promote these type of things if it were ever to happen.
Yeah, I am wondering how the future of the DC Universe app is going to be once HBO Max begins.
Well, DC Universe is more than TV shows. I mean, there's so much comic content and original programming.
I think they'll keep that stuff. I think they'll keep that stuff on the DC Universe app. I'm talking about the original programming, stuff like that. The Titans might stay there because it has a following and it's there, and Doom Patrol probably will too. But if they ever want to like resurrect maybe Swamp Thing.
Oh, I wish they would.
I know you covered that for Batman on Film.
It was fantastic. I really did enjoy it. You know, we talked a lot about horror earlier on, but that really was a game changer, I thought, in terms of horror television.
I only watched, the first few episodes, and I was into it. I just, when I heard that it wasn't going to go on, I'm like, why am I going to get caught up in the show?
It's good. It really is. It's a good show. So, I say give it a shot. I'm still trying to get you to watch Harley Quinn. I've been trying to get this guy to do a Harley Quinn show with me, and he's still stuck on season 1, so that's...
All right, I will
that's
try
and carve out... under the bus.
Okay, I will try and carve out some time and watch some Harley Quinn. It was entertaining. It wasn't that it wasn't entertaining. I did enjoy what I've watched so far. I don't know. I just stopped watching it.
Birds of Prey, you'll like the show. It's the same tone. It's the same exact tone.
It is. Because like I said, at Comic-Con, we saw, Ryan and I saw the I think it was the second episode. They showed like 20 minutes of it or 15 minutes of it. And it was, I laughed. I thought it was great. I was laughing. So I definitely think, I definitely know if I sat down and watched it, I'd probably enjoy it. So I just got to
love Kite Man. Kite Man's great. He's hilarious.
Kite Man?
Dude, Kite Man's great. It's funny how Kite Man has had a resurgence over the last like 2-3 years. Because mm-hmm. he's been from the bottom of the barrel. Now he's, Tom King made him a pretty prominent guy in his Batman run, and now he's Poison Ivy's boyfriend. And they are a really funny, entertaining couple. It's very interesting stuff.
Do we get any Condiment King or no?
Not yet. But Harley Quinn really did a great job with Catwoman, by the way. Like, fantastic job.
Okay.
So there's a lot of good DC stuff in there.
Okay. There was another bit of news that might be interesting to you. I know you collect toys and you collect a lot of the Batman toys. And there was an announcement that McFarlane Toys has variants of current DC figures coming out.
Yeah. What's it called? I believe just different colors. They do like color shades. So it's like the comic accurate Batman right now is black and gray, but they'll do it more traditional with the light blue and the yellow oval and stuff like that. And
yeah,
McFarlane Toys did a really great job so far of just releasing figures. I know that the first line was a little bit rushed, but all the variants, they did a variant of their Batman the Animated Series. They did the black version and the blue version. And I recently talked to Frank Lorenzis. I hope I didn't butcher his last name on Instagram, but he says the Wonder Woman figures, especially the gold outfit, are phenomenal. So McFarlane, just between the articulation and their paint and their sculpting, I think they're really doing a much better job than Mattel. I just hope that the people are buying them. I know it's not exactly ideal to go to toy stores. I was going to say Toys R Us. Toy stores now, getting out in the open and going out in the public isn't exactly a great thing. And it kind of stinks for them because I think they're doing really good stuff with their action figures. I just, just wear your gloves, wear your masks, wipe them down with Lysol wipes when you get home. That's the best advice I can give you. But I do think that McFarlane Toys is doing a fantastic job, although I am sadly missing out on any sort of Birds of Prey figures. I'm really bummed out that I don't have any Birds of Prey Harley Quinn figures.
Too bad I didn't know that at Comic-Con. I could have swiped the ones that were in the DC Universe. The DC Universe building. I could have gotten them for you.
When it comes to Harley Quinn and Eric Holzman, he just lets me down time and time.
Yeah, but these new figures are pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen them, but it's the classic blue, gray, yellow oval.
It's beautiful. Yellow belt. It's a beautiful looking figure. It really is.
It's awesome. And Pete reviews toys for Batman on film, if anyone was wondering.
I do. I have a pop review. I've been doing a lot of pops lately. I do have a Batman Begins pop, Gordon and Batman with the bat signal at the end of the movie. That review's up on Batman on Film YouTube. I do have the Joker gargoyle fight from 89 on deck. I actually have to shoot that. I have that inbox waiting to do that. So I have some stuff on the horizon there. A little, mid-show plug.
Yeah, there you go. Definitely check out Pete's reviews of the toy line, the various toy lines that he has figures, Batman figures of. Pete has a very nice collection, not like Ryan Haas's, obviously. But
the difference is Ryan Haas's collection is actually on display, whereas mine's still in storage.
Yeah.
His black and white statue collection is far superior to mine, though.
Yes. We talked about it last time, guys, and if you guys would have seen that, the Zoom meeting we had with Ryan showing not just his Batman stuff, but his Nintendo stuff, it was awesome.
It could have been a BOF vlog. It should have been.
Yeah. I kept thinking of it like being like Cribs for, for comic book fans.
What, Fanboy Cribs? BOF
Cribs? Yes. Yeah, something like that with his collection because it was awesome. Again, shout out to Ryan again for being our first guest last time. It was very nice to have him on. We have other people coming, folks, in our circle.
We've been brainstorming a lot. We've got a lot of ideas for shows and just people to have on. So we're going to try to put out, we're going to try to use the most of a pandemic time and try to put out some content for you guys.
Yeah, I'll try to get it out every week. I'll try and make sure we get out the podcast every week. Friday we posted the first one on Spotify because it was much easier, and we just were approved for the first one. Now, you guys don't care about this because if you're listening to it, you might have already heard the first episode. But I just got news today that the iTunes version is up. So that'll be there as well.
So we're making moves.
Yeah, we're making moves. We want to get out there. I want to give you a little bit of a different flavor. Hopefully when things open up here in the New York City area, there are a couple of ideas that Pete and I were tossing around the other night about doing on the road, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, when we're allowed to move freely around about the cabin, we could do that and do some of those things and bring maybe even some live content if we can get on Facebook Live. I don't know. We'll see how that works. But there was another story of Batman-esque related that I read about Alicia Silverstone. And she was talking about how she talked about her getting the role of Batgirl at the time and how, you know, how much fun it was, how great it was. But then she started talking about how she was criticized for her weight when she was promoting the movie.
I've read about this in the past, yeah.
Yeah, and she said that they would make fun of her body. She knew that it wasn't obviously wasn't right to make fun of her, but she said she got a lot of body shaming when she was making that movie, especially when she was in the Batgirl suit. Now, I don't know, maybe it's me, but I thought she looked incredible in that movie.
I don't see a damn thing wrong with it. There's a right? lot wrong with that movie, but none of it had to do with her.
Exactly. So I don't know where that whoever those people were saying that stuff to her. I mean, I don't know what you're looking at. You must have a really, really warped view of what a beautiful, perfect body looks like, because she looked great.
Look, aside from Clooney, she's the second best looking thing in that movie. Clooney's fantastic. He's a stud. Let's be honest. Come on. He's George. You can't argue with George.
Yeah. No, the costumes and stuff in that movie didn't bother me at all, maybe, except for Bane. But
No, the problem with that movie is the story and the tone. But it's not Alicia Silverstone. You know, I mean, yeah, Barbara Wilson isn't exactly my favorite Batgirl. Right. I'm definitely a Barbara Gordon, Cassandra Cain fan. But even Huntress had a little run as I don't know if it was Batgirl, but in No Man's Land, she wore the Cassandra Cain black Batgirl suit for a little bit. But yeah, she's not the issue there.
Yeah, no. And I mean, obviously, again, whoever was saying this stuff is crazy, but as she's the one that the things were being said about. So I can't, you know, you don't want to diminish her experience and say, you know, whatever, but whoever was saying things like that.
And wasn't she just coming off of Clueless too? Like, wasn't she pretty much like a rising star at the time?
Yeah. She had done that movie. Yeah. She had done that movie Crush.
Okay.
Where she played that psycho girl who had a crush on her neighbor anyway. She was, and then did Clueless, which obviously was her breakout role, which everyone still remembers her for today. And then she got this. Then she got Batman and Robin. And she said, like she says in the article, at the time, it was the biggest role of her life. Like, it was the biggest deal in her career. And she said, but she said the experience of it wasn't the greatest. So
we got some great toys out of Batman and Robin, though. At least we got that. You know, years down the line, you can look back at it post Nolan, you know, and you're just like, at least I got
the colors.
Figures.
The colors. All I remember from the Schumacher movies, mostly I remember, are the colors. It was very, very bright.
It was very neon. Very neon.
Yeah. And which was very 90s, by the way. For that era, that was very much in. So, but we could do another podcast on Batman and Robin sometime.
A Batman and Robin appreciation podcast.
Yes. It'll be 10 minutes long, but
filled with nothing but ice puns.
Yep. We'll just say the ice puns. We'll have Ryan Lauer come on to do his line for Poison Ivy.
You're not sending me to the cooler.
We'll just have all the people come on to talk about that wonderful film that gave us the Nolan trilogy. So
I was recently speaking with the aforementioned Ryan Haas, and he was telling me that because he's doing a Batman 66 rewatch, that there's an episode of 66 that basically they ripped off where like Freeze is stealing diamonds and blah, 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 and all this stuff to keep him cold and everything. And he's like, they just literally just stole the episode from the show. And I was like, that figures, because that's what they were trying to do. They basically tried
exactly
a modern day version of 66. So they took all the psychedelic elements out and they replaced it with neon. And, you know, that's the story of Batman and Robin.
Even the lines, like even some of the lines, when I think about it, like they're obviously up to date because you could get it, you could say more things in a film than you could on television, especially in the 60s. Mm. But even when I say some of the back to me, I'm like, oh God, that's like a direct pull from the 66 show. It's just worded differently, but yeah, it's an exact pull. Oh man.
I always do wonder. And I sent this to the Vigilante podcast. Those guys, the Caruso's and I forget the other guy's doing. I'm sorry, but I forget. They had a podcast question. I was like, what do you guys think Clooney would have done if he was cast in Forever instead of Kilmer? You know, just one of those quick like what ifs. Mm-hmm. And it's just something I thought of because, you know, Clooney was – he still is a fantastic actor. I've always said he's the best actor to ever play Batman in the worst movie, you know. And he's just coming off like From Dusk Till Dawn to be Batman. So you think he can play this dark, serious kind of brooding character. But it's just, you know, it's one of those fun what ifs.
Yeah. I mean, it would have he was still on ER at the time, I think.
Well, he was shooting ER while he was shooting Batman and Robin. Like he was going back and forth between sets.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was the height of his popularity when that show was on, because that's where he really blew up and got known. So I think if he was in Forever, I think it would have probably done the same thing. I don't know how. I really like Kilmer in that movie.
That's Kilmer's great. Thought. Like, you know, he's the Brandon Routh of Batman. You know, he doesn't get enough credit. He only had one movie.
Yep.
But Routh eventually got his redemption. So
I thought, yeah.
There's always hope for Val.
To come back as Batman? I don't know. He needs to take care of himself. He's had some health issues recently.
I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of cameo or something just to give, but I don't know. I wish Val the best. You know, you always want, I always think of him, like you see Val in just these roles like Batman and Top Gun, and you're just like, he's such a strong character, and just to see him now, it really breaks your heart.
He was in Heat.
Yeah.
Quicker than I know. Day. Yep. The Doors, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, so many tremendous movies.
Yeah. Like him and we're going off on a tangent now, but I think of like him and Nicolas Cage, how, you know, one period of time they were like really, really hot actors. Like they were in a lot of things. And then something happened and then bam, nothing. Like you don't hear about them at all.
I think Nicolas Cage is like the worst actor of all time.
And then he got then he had all the tax issues and stuff, the financial issues, Nicolas Cage, and that's what pulled him aside. But they're kind of from that same era. So that's why when I think of those things, I'm like, yeah, they were really like popping at the time. Like everyone know Nicolas Cage, Val Kilmer, they're doing films. And now just all of a sudden you don't hear.
And people on air face off and I can't stand either one. But I was like, hey, you guys like
and it. Like, with females, I think of like Ashley Judd. Like she was really hot and doing all these movies at one time. And now nothing. Like completely, she just dropped off, nothing else.
Nothing but Kentucky.
I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, like I don't know.
Basketball fan.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going off on this tangent. I just something that popped into my head that we're talking.
That's the New York slant in this podcast.
Yeah, we New Yorkers, we do things like that. We like just flip through.
Yeah.
Completely change topic middle of conversations, and we talk fast. That's the other thing. So
that's the sports talk.
What? Yeah. Yeah, Pete and I both have a little bit of a broadcasting background, so what we do. And if you didn't know, Pete's opening today. Pete, go ahead, tell him who inspired
I've always wanted to do this, and I've never had a chance to do it on the BOF podcast because, you know, Ryan, he leads the way there, and you know, he's the host. But I've always wanted to open it up similar to the Mike and the Mad Dog show. On WFAN for a long time, and it's just, you know, someone who used to intern there and, you know, worked at CBS Sports Radio under various great New York radio personalities. It's just a way to pay tribute to people who have motivated me into, you know, doing stuff like this, who, you know, made, you know, inspired me to do broadcasting, and now I can do podcasting as a way to follow my passions, even though I never made it as a radio host. I did have a board operator job, so I did make it in radio for a little bit.
Let's hope we could do something here and get our voices out there with this podcast. That's something I'd love to do. If we can just get crazier and zanier with each episode, maybe we'll catch someone's ear, influential ear. But no, yeah, I loved Mike and the Mad Dog. I loved that show. I grew up on that show as well. I used to listen to it every day. So this, they definitely, even for a medium like this, I don't know if we'd, podcasting would be as pronounced if it weren't for things like talk radio and like IMIS and you know, Mike and the Mad Dog and Sports Talk.
They definitely inspired a bunch of people with worthless opinions.
Yeah. So I don't know if the game as it is now would be the same without them. So definitely it was a very well done tribute, Pete, and well deserved. And on that note, we're going to say goodbye.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Vero, and I guess any other form of social media at Pete Illustrated. Various reviews of Detective Comics on Batman on Film, various tour reviews on Batman YouTube, as well as interviews with Michael Uslan, James Tucker, Kevin Conroy, Tara Strong, and others from Comic Cons. Check that stuff out. It's if you love Batman, it's definitely, it'll be a fun rabbit hole for you to just dive right into.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And Pete, plug the Twitter, our Twitter handle. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. We also have a Twitter handle. Let's see here. What is this? It's still new, so I don't know it off the top of my head. Give me a sec.
Is it at the straight O underscore G? Is that it?
I believe that's what it is. So the straight OG podcast is what we call ourselves.
Let's see. I will definitely confirm this. Yes, it's at straight underscore O underscore G.
Yes.
Is our Twitter handle. Yes. That is
it. We're still getting used to this. So at least I am.
No, we definitely are. We're both still working our way through this, guy. So it's a little bit of bumps in the road in the beginning, but hopefully we smooth them out in the long run. So yeah, if you guys want to hit me up, obviously you can hit me on also at the straight OG Twitter handle. You can also hit me up on my personal Twitter handle at final E33. It's spelled finale 33. Again, as I always say, I'm open to any conversation. I have a lot of passions, a lot of interests, comics, sports. The NFL draft is coming up. I won't have this out by then, so we could discuss the post draft if you'd like. Hit me up again on Twitter at finale33. And anything else, Pete? Anything else you want to?
That's it. Stay safe, wash your hands, and that's it, guys. Just be safe out there.
Yes, be safe. Hug your loved ones. Try and be nice to everybody, especially in times like this. You never know what anyone's going through. Any day, you never know what anyone's going through. Just try to be kind to everyone, guys. So once again, for Pete Vera, I am Eric Holzman. This is Straight Outta Gotham. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.